2013. Who is glad to see 2012 go? 2013. Yes, welcome 2013. Very excited. And I know in the first service, every hand went up almost. They were so glad to be out of 2012. I've never been one to enjoy what we're going to talk about today, which is detours, even to peace. I don't like to drive slow, and my GPS hates me, so I always get lost if I have to take detours. If you have a Garmin, you know, God bless you if it works. Mine never does. Mine takes me in circles, and so I really struggle with detours. And if you want to be able to make it for the long haul, you've got, and I have to learn to take detours. We were in Ohio over Christmas. I was going to my in-laws. I was by myself, and I hit a road, and it was, there was a detour there. I had to take a detour. I mean, it was a two-mile detour through a neighborhood that I was very familiar with. It was a few towns away from mine. I drove down Evergreen, and there was a house there that brought back incredibly negative memories for me. Things I didn't necessarily want to remember, enjoy remembering. And then two streets over, Westminster Way, was where some of my closest friends lived. And they're still close to me today. They're actually nice. Somebody's going to get electrocuted one day. I know it. It's actually the home where I met my wife for the first time. And I was really impressed with her. She not so much with me. I was overestimating the power of my 90s jeans and Eastlands, I guess. But it was a good memory in that. So much so that I took the detour again when I had to go back with Max. And so I take this detour again, and I begin to say, you know, we begin to talk about things, and I just begin to talk a little bit about God's goodness. And we passed the negative house, and then when we stopped at Westminster Way, and I said, baby, you know Mr. Ronnie? And Mr. Ronnie, yes, Daddy. I said, that's where they lived when they were younger. And that's where Daddy first met Mommy. So it was great. It was, you know, that in that course with him, that's all he needed. And he doesn't understand dating, so he's got a million questions and marriage and all that. But the detour was awesome. And I didn't appreciate the detour when it first started. Because when I went through the detour, I went 2 miles for a 200-yard stretch of road that was out. So 2 miles for 200 yards, maybe 200 yards. But that detour protected me and kept me going on the journey. It allowed me to keep moving. What we're going to look at today is going to sustain you when the excitement goes away. It's going to sustain you when things go bad. It's going to sustain you when things go good and you've got all these offerings in front of you and you've got all these opportunities and you don't know which way to turn and everything seems good and some of you are in that spot and it's such a fun place to be. But I think you'll see the detour of peace is a great way to start the year. And I don't want you to get frustrated. I don't want you to begin in the very, as we read the scriptures, to measure, compare, to translate early. I want you to go through the detour with me. And I want you to see what God really has to say about peace. Because I don't know about you, but even now, after so many years of following Jesus Christ, peace many times seems elusive, or I don't know if I've put the wrong translation on it or whatever. But I hope that'll help you. I want you to look at John 14 with me. John 14 has this to say to you and I. Peace I leave with you. What? You're leaving. Peace I give to you. We can feel it. Here's the detour. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. That's a real detour. That's very confusing. Let not your heart be troubled. Okay, I've got this reference point of peace, and you're telling me that you're going to give me the opposite of what I think peace is. That's a detour. You have heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back. Detour, hey, wouldn't we be better served for you just to hang with us? If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. So now they're feeling unspiritual, these guys that are following him for 3 years. You've heard me say to you, I'm going back, okay, we said that, I'm going back to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I told you before it comes, detour, we know things that other people don't. When it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk with you. Okay, you're going to leave. detour. You're saying the peace you're going to offer when you're gone is different than this reference point I have, detour. And now you're telling me I'm not going to talk with you much. He says, shut up, no more questions. For the ruler of this world is coming and has nothing in me. So now we get fear, detour, fear. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. And here we come out of that detour. Okay, here we go. We're back. We're hitting pavement again. Arise. Arise and let us go from here. How many people would say, and this is very healthy and normal if this is true, so don't worry. How many people would say, you have prayed for something, hoped for something, wished for something, you know, believed something, sent good vibrations into the world, and it turned out opposite than the vibration or the prayer, especially with God? Has anybody ever experienced that beside me? Yeah, some of us, a couple of honest people. Thank you. Yeah, most of us experienced that. When people say God has done the opposite of what I thought he should. And that's a detour. I mean, he did it in these verses. He said, you're afraid, so I'm leaving, but I'll be back. Now wait a minute. Jesus, it would make sense for you to stay. But in the detour, what Jesus did, it's a reference to an Old Testament thing called atonement, that Jesus, no longer would we sacrifice animals. No longer would we go Old Testament with it, with 600 and some commandments. But God said, I'm going to go to atone. I am going to go pay for sins once and for all. But I'm going to come back. So I'm taking this detour, and inadvertently you're going to take this detour because I'm not going to be here telling you every move to make. But I want you to know that the detour is worth it. He said, you love me, so I'm going to my Father. Now, wait a minute. You know, wait, I love you. Don't people that love each other want to spend time together? Yes. And they thought that would be erased if he went to the Father. And he was like, no. He was showing them that if I go to my Father, then not only can I connect with you spiritually, not only can I connect with people that are Jews spiritually, but I can connect with every person that will ever be born. All men can know God and know the peace of God and know what this detour is about. We're going to see it in just a moment. But I have to go to my Father even though we love each other. He said the enemy is flexing up. And we're like, God, you just said you had more power than him. Flex up bigger. He said, I'm greater than he is. Well, just thumb him under. Put him under your feet. Stomp on him. Eradicate him. And Jesus said, no, I'm going to take a detour. I'm going to get under the weight of sin. I'm going to crawl under this weight that he's offering because I'm going to fulfill Isaiah 53, and I'm going to be able to bring hope and healing and forgiveness and help people begin to trust my Father no matter what. Jesus in this detour is not being sadistic. Sin is just flat out sinister. Sin destroys us and keeps us from God. And Jesus said, listen, I took this detour. And so you've got to know that on this detour to peace, we've got to kind of take the ugly route. There's going to be some good things that you're going to remember in the journey with me. There's going to be some ugly things that you're going to remember. But we're going to head towards peace because peace is found in a person. We're going to see this in a little bit. So the detour, the reason we've got to go down this road is we've got to see that the detour to peace ends and begins with Jesus Christ. That even though he's going to take you down a path that seems the opposite of what you would want him to do, that seems the opposite of bringing peace, in the end is going to bring peace. It's really strange the way God works. But God says, listen, I've died in your place. I'm going to die in people's place. I'm going to shed my blood. I'm going to be able to cleanse sin, and I'm going to be able to give people a chance to choose faith. Now they can choose something other than a fallen nature and bad choices. They can choose something that ends, rather than ends in separation and destruction, ends in life, eternal, but it also has a life-giving principle now. And we've begun with this peace, and Jesus did the same thing with them. He's like, my peace I'll leave with you, my peace I'll give. And he's telling them the same message, like, I'm going to die and rise again. It's 200 yards from where he began. He took the detour with them. And what Jesus begins when he brings peace, or when he takes you through a detour, when he brings you to himself, he's always going to take you down life's path. You're going to see the need of something more in your life. For some of you, it's going to be immediate that that was Jesus Christ. For others, it's going to be multiple steps. It's going to be a lot of Bible reading. It's going to be a lot of listening to podcasts or Christian music, or maybe the opposite, going in. I mean, it's just taking you on the detour. And God is saying at any time, we can step into the slow zone and begin to discover peace. And for many of you, today's the day that you will embrace Jesus Christ and initiate a peace journey. For many of you that have accepted Christ, I want you to know that the peace is not as elusive as it seems. The detour is necessary, because the detour, whether you're a Christ follower or not, shows that the Lord Jesus Christ is the beginning and the end, that he's the source of peace, that we need him. If there was nothing that ever detoured your life that created some sensation that you needed something more, you would just live void in your life. I mean, for many of you, it is a Red Sea miracle that you are here on a Sunday morning, checking God out, seeing what the Bible has to say about Jesus. There's just been a point in your life where you were journeying, you got a card, you got an invite, somebody you knew was a Christ follower, somebody that served here at LifePoint, and they invited you out, and you came out and began to seek, and you found Jesus Christ. Some of you have been, you've been a Christ follower long before God led you to a place called LifePoint, and you still wonder, why is this peace eluding me? I think you're closer than you may think you are. Even though it seems like it's far away, it's really not. And God has you do the detour. See, you can crash through the barrier. I had a friend do that once. He was not paying attention, went through the bridge closed sign. Now, thankfully, it was a culvert, and it dropped down about as much as the stage. But he was driving length of this building. He goes into nothing, into rebar, tore his car. It's a miracle that he lived. And God is saying, listen, we got to do the detour. The detour is going to seem unnecessary. The detour is going to seem a waste of time. But what I want you to know is I'm protecting you actually as we detour from destruction to where you will salivate for real peace, for you'll want that, to where it'll be something that drives your life. And then I believe if you can discover how to get it, then somebody, because so many times churches, pastors leave us hanging right there. God wants to give you peace. God offers peace, but you're like, what does this thing look like? How does this work? Is this just feeling? What's going on? Jesus begins to unpack it. He said, I've taken you on the detour. We're almost through the construction to Peace Boulevard. And here's what God reveals. My peace I give unto you. My peace I leave with you. Jesus said, it's all right because I'm all right. Things around you may not look great. Things around you may not look copacetic, but it's all right because I'm all right. He said, my peace I give unto you. Jesus said, I want you to experience the peace of the Holy Spirit. It begins in a moment that you say, God, I need you. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. And I invite you into my life, and I want to begin to follow you. And then your life begins to show that. There's these changes that begin to take. Some people, it's really amazing. I mean, it's major. Other people, it's real incremental. And God, a lot of that is it reveals, you know, that it's just your personality rather than some biblical principle that you missed out on. And here's what God says right before you get traction. He said, I want you to know that I don't give peace like the world gives. We need that. We need that little bit of slow down. I mean, there's a guy standing there smoking a cigarette with a tight T-shirt on, hoping you'll look at him, standing by the go ahead slow sign, right? He's standing in the construction zone. He's hoping that you'll think he's cool in his aviators, the cool hanging out. I mean, he thinks he's got it. And God said, I want you to slow down. And in this construction zone, God says, well, before you hit the Peace Boulevard, I want you to know that the peace that God gives, that I give, Jesus says, is not like the world. And I begin to think about that. I said, okay, let's not throw rocks at things I don't necessarily like, my little pet peeves. Let me, as a guy that loves marketing and loves culture, begin to look at the world's peace offering. And these are some of the things that just hit me. I hope you'll add to this list. I hope that you'll build a construction zone for yourself from your story. But I begin to see that peace is based on how other people react to what I believe strongly. So if I get on Facebook and I'd be like, I love pets a lot, and somebody gets on there and says, I hate pets, suddenly I'm disrupted from my peaceful situation. If I get on there and put smiley face, Jesus saves, and like some of my atheist friends, I don't believe in Jesus, you know, in my feed. I'm just kind of growling and the gears are kind of grinding. What's going on? God said, listen, peace is not based on how other people react to your strong beliefs. And here's another thing that hit me. Peace is our collective compromise. There'll never be true compromise and peace between any two parties. There's tolerance, man. We've taken it to an art form and tried to make it peace. Never lasts, ever. Peace is this relaxation technique. If I just meditate, if I do guided imagery, if I do ritualistic chants phases, if I do the sweat house or the sweatshop or whatever, you know, then this peace is a technique. Peace is a certain ideology that I impose on other people. You know, peace in the Middle East, conquer, and by you conquering them in Islam, they will come to know peace because you've thumbed down on them and taken away choice. It's on the news every day. Don't be surprised. Peace is a certain financial level or a cultural level. Now, up until very recently, this was translated like this. If I could get what I want, if I get what I desire, if I can go for it, then I'll have peace. I mean, I grew up in the 80s, 70s and 80s, man. It was all about what to achieve, not what you believe. People didn't care about what you believe. They care about what you achieved when I first became a Christ follower. But now what I see is I'll have peace if I have what someone else has, and especially if someone else can provide it. And so we look to government, and we look to friends, and we look to family. We look for someone to take care of us. I was like, you know what, man? That's marketed to me daily. That's worldly peace. That's what it offers. I mean, that's the reverence. I remember this kind of stuff being taught when I was in 6th and 7th grade. I mean, I remember this kind of stuff. We see that the world says peace is found in relationships. I was down for the count for 2 days in bed. I could not believe how many single ads I saw. You know, hey, we're all nice looking and talking. You want to call us? And then it was like Christian mingle single, Muslim mingle single. I'm like, wow, man. You know, all kinds of these things that trying to put people together. I don't have a problem with that. But here's one of the things that I see a lot, and I hear it from people in their 20s, hear it from people in their 30s and 40s and 50s too, that relationships somehow bring peace, that I can find peace in a relationship. And so I get into a relationship, and I've got my strong need meter on, and I get in there, and all my needs aren't met by this one person, which is impossible. And so I become restless. I don't have any peace. I begin to search for somebody else, and I go to somebody else, and I find after a few months that it's the same thing, because I'm thinking peace is found in a relationship. Peace is found in living how and where and when I want. That's one of the messages I receive constantly. Peace is found in self being at the top. Live, eat, learn, pray, whatever. I mean, live, eat, pray. Walk away from problems. Walk away from responsibility and embrace your higher self. Stand on the mountain like the secret and say it, and it comes back, and you know all these good things. And it does work for the people that write those books. Become very wealthy with that. And they get on Oprah. Well, she's not anymore. She's not on TV. Maybe Pierce Morgan, and they get the thumbs up. We try it. It doesn't seem to work out. But the problem is, peace is not found in people. Peace is not found. That's why Jesus said, I want you to slow down. Don't pull your car out of alignment. Don't throw rocks all up and chip the paint. Just take it easy in this construction zone. You've come through the major detour. You can see the end of sight. We're a couple hundred yards away from paved Peace Boulevard. God said, I want you to slow down. And I want you to see that what I'm offering is not that. And that's usually where pastors stop. And I want to say, what does that look like? And you can add to what I've revealed today. Because I believe that God speaks to you too. So God says, okay, this peace thing that the world says is peace, that doesn't satisfy, more rapes, more degradation, more debt, more fears, more anxieties, more meds, new meds coming out all the time, our chemistry out of whack, we live in pressure cookers, and yet we still keep going over here. I'm guilty of this. I don't know about you, but of all of these, I mean, I've come through the hurdle that peace is found in a relationship. I gave up my dating life, met my wife, realized 3 years in, she was not Jesus. I mean, I've seen that peace is not found in living how and where I want. I've got three kids that reflect me. I can see that every day. Peace is in some collective compromise. Peace doesn't work that way. But that one, maybe yours is another thing. Mine is that financial level. If God would only let me get to a certain income level, and I've never reached it. You know, they asked John D. Rockefeller, the wealthiest man, one of the wealthiest men in history, comparatively, but definitely the wealthiest man of his time. How much, John D., is enough money? And you know what he said? Just a little more. Just a little more. And I don't know what peace offering the world makes for you, but what I've begun to discover again and anew in my life is that that doesn't matter. But I don't know if you're like me. When I take a detour, I always think there's something wrong with me when I have to detour in my journey. So if I have to follow this line and I got to walk back around, see, because I see some people, they just go right up to the top of the podium and they get their medal. But I don't, my life has not been that way. My life has been a series of detours. And I get a win, I get a loss. I get a negative, I get a positive. And I find myself journeying and journeying. And I'm so worried about the journey. I'm so worried about what other people are thinking. I'm so worried about how other people got there or how they were more successful or they got there faster that I never stop and see that God has journeyed with me through this detour. He has slowed me down in the construction zone to say, listen, I've got to make a comparison for you. None of that brings peace. And I'm like, God, I've been taught since I was a kid that brings peace. I've watched my parents live that brings peace. I learned, in middle school that brings peace. I learned it in high school and college. I learned it in sales training. I learned it in manufacturing that those things bring peace, and God says no. And then he begins to say this. Check this out with me. Let's look at verse 27 again. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So you got this Jesus peace. It reminds me of Notorious B.I.G. Jesus peace, you know. Peace from Christ. Jesus peace. Okay, if it's not that, if it doesn't look like that, and it doesn't feel like that, and I don't need to feel bad that I've tried that and it didn't work. I mean, I am here seeking you, God. I am here looking for it. And Jesus says, my peace is available, whatever the circumstances. The inside with Christ is more important than the outside. See, world peace says everything going on around you determines peace. God says whatever's going on inside of you determines peace. That's greater than the circumstances, because circumstances come and go. So it's available whatever, whenever I find myself. God's peace affirms. I don't know if you've been a Christ follower, if you are, but I've been a Christ follower long enough to give something to God that I didn't want to. I've lived long enough for his Bible to butt up against my life and for me to push back and strong arm. But when I've eventually said, yes, God, it's the most affirming peace. There's such a weight lifted off my shoulders. It's that same feeling. It's that same sense of ease. It's that same non-white-knuckled thing that you experience when you're fulfilling your purpose, when you're making a difference. you've done something that you know makes a difference. When you've reached into somebody else's life. When you've obeyed him in some area, said yes to God. Jesus said, my peace isn't like this, but my peace brings comfort. Good times, bad times. Some people, you're having a great time and you're made to feel bad when you come to church. Enjoy it. Enjoy that sense of peace. Just know that that doesn't come from your situation, that comes from Christ. Some of you are in a horrible situation. You're facing extremely tough times. You've got an immeasurable peace. People don't understand it. They don't understand how you can face what you're facing, where you're at, what you're going through. But you know and God knows that his peace comforts. Sometimes we're not ready for it. If you're in a moment and you haven't experienced God's peace in a moment, I don't want you to freak out. Remember, everybody goes through the detour and everybody goes through the construction zone. But sometimes peace, we're not ready for it. And God is not going to sit something on your porch of your life that's going to spoil. He doesn't waste. God's not that way. God knows when your heart is quiet and your guard is down, he'll whisper peace. And sometimes God's peace is on the back nine. You'll come through a situation, you will wonder where in the galaxy and universe is this God that you have believed in and served, Jesus Christ. And you will look back like I did from 18 months ago and be like, oh my God. And it brings such a sense of peace. You brought me through all of that. I didn't even see how close I was to destruction. I didn't even see how strained my marriage was or how broken I was. And that peace comes and comforts in the rearview mirror. God's peace replaces whatever's blocking God's hope and love. So many times when you read the Bible and you hear pastors speak, you would think that all God does is take away. God replaces what he takes away. So when you surrender something to him, when you surrender your will and your way, God, for God's way, he gives you eternal life. He gives you the opportunity for peace, real peace. When you surrender your finances to him and you say, no longer am I an owner, I'm a manager, I'm going to follow you, I'm going to tithe, I'm going to obey. You begin to see blessings you never had before when you tried to control. God always replaces. And you'll dig with your little beach shovel and pour it out and say, God, I'm pouring this out. And God comes in with a big front end loader and dumps the blessing. Dumps help, dumps hope, dumps reinforcement in your life. God always replaces. If he asks for your dating life, he's going to replace it with something better. If he asks for your parenting style, he's going to reveal something new. God does not just take, and it's not his goal. That's not his goal. He knows that doesn't bring just peace by doing that. But it is awesome when he takes sin. It's awesome when he takes burden. For Jesus, the example was fear. Fear is universal. That was his number one example. You see it all the time, fear of people. Some of you will not stand up for Christ because of fear of man. It's no different for you in high school. You know, you weren't religious then. You didn't want to be associated with that. And now you're 30 and 40 years old. You're still living like you're 18. You still think like you're 18 socially. You may have even been successful. You got a home, you got cars, you got kids. But fear of man cripples you because of your perception of what God wants you to do instead of finding out what he wants you to do. For some of it's fear of rejection. I think for a lot of people that's come through LifePoint doors, it's fear of failure. For some of us that struggle chemically, it's fear of anxiety and hopelessness. Jesus says, listen, I'm offering you peace. Don't worry that it's not this sudden feeling that overwhelms you like some guy on TV told you. Because more often than not, what God does to get you to Peace Boulevard is takes you on the detour of his lordship. And it just seems like just arm's length from where you started, even though it took you quite a while. And God says, now you're ready. So let's go slow through this construction zone. The guy's holding the sign. Pylon's in the middle of the road. Let's go slow through this zone. And what I want you to see in the zone is what I'm going to offer is like none of this. Nothing that you've been taught. Nothing that you've bought into. Nothing that you've constructed your faith system around. Let me blow that up. But God says the peace I offer is affirming. It comforts. It replaces. And it works in any circumstance. Because it's not about you getting all the pieces right together. Okay, God, now give me peace. Okay, it's all like stuck and it works. And I said, nah. God says, I care about this. I care about this. This comes and goes. It's the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you start your new year, I believe for many of you, it's going to be a record-breaking year for your life. For many of you, your life's going to gain traction. For some of you, you've got a carryover from 12, and you're still trying to get it. You're still in that detour. I believe God's going to bring you through. And when the high wears off, and the worry sets in, and old patterns set in, I want you to know that from John 14, God says, I offer you real peace. It's become a comfort to me to see what God's peace really looks like, because I had translated it in so many awkward ways. And I got to do these things and perform, and it just gets really botched up and kind of pushes me away from Jesus. I don't know if you've experienced that or not, but it's happened to me. Let's pray together.